passage, as a matter of fact, it's become one of my favorite passages in Scripture. I don't find it scary anymore. I find it very enlightening. I find it very, what I would call, informational for our future in the heavens. So that's what I look at. But what we're going to look at today, I've called this the Tale of Two Temples. In Scripture, this temple, the term temple here, is very significant in Scripture. Turn to Daniel 6. We're going to open it up with this. Just to get out, before we get into the meat of the matter here, in Daniel, Zechariah, I'm sorry. The closing books of the so-called Old Testament, Zechariah gives some prophecy concerning Israel's future. He gives about their condition and about things that are going to happen when the coming of Jesus Christ comes back. And he breaks into, let's look at verse 12 of Zechariah 6. In Zechariah 6, it says, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the host of hosts, saying, the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. He shall sit and rule upon his name. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and he shall counsel peace, and shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Halem, and to Tobijah, and to Jedidiah, and to Hen, and the sons of Zephaniah, for the memorial of the temple of the Lord." So Zechariah gives a little bit of prophecy here in the future that this temple is going to be surrounded by Jesus Christ. He's going to, we know by chapter 21 of Revelation that he does become that temple, a building not made with hands. He becomes that temple. But all through Old Testament Scripture, this was the center focus of Israel. All activity, whatever form it came in, either by tent or by brick or mortar, it became the center point of Israel's existence with God. And you can't underplay the value of that temple. It was everything to the nation Israel. Matter of fact, in the past, like you said, you read the Old Testament Scripture, it gave detail by detail how to build this temple, how to build the altar, how to enter it, how to come out of it, how Israel should approach it. Everything centered around that existence where God was among his people. But what about today? Is that temple still a focus? Now you think about, I'm not going to get political here, but it has to do a lot with politics. The temple then was very political. It's political today. You look at Israel today. They're in the land. It's about the size of New Jersey. You got Muslim nations surrounding this territory. Then you got a thing called the Gaza Strip, which is a boundary between them and the Muslim nations. And the Muslims, or the Palestinians, want that piece of ground. Now, if you listen on the news, they claim that the Palestinians claim they have a right to that land so they can live. And I find it amazing that they have all the millions of acres and they want this one strip of land. And don't bet on it that they need it to live. They don't need that piece of land to live. It all has to deal with this temple, what's going on in Israel today. It's the Mecca of that area. And you think, you know, you listen to some of the politicians talk about that piece of land that they want from Israel. And I'll bring up this name because everybody knows her, Ocasio-Cortez. And then there was another lady, Lamar. Is her name Lamar? She talked about Omar. Is it Omar? Okay, I can never get the names right. Omar had a discussion about this Gaza Strip. Now, I'm not bringing this up to condemn or not condemn, but sometimes they give you light to what really is what's going on about this piece of land. They talked about this word right here, the temple. And Ocasio-Cortez, if you research history, she said, you'll find out that Muslims were the actual owners of the temple. And they will rebuild it, and they will own it. And still today, now that's all I'm going to say about that, but I thought, man, they don't understand biblical history at all, but I'm sure they throw that stuff out the door. But that temple, even today, is the focus of Israel. You hear them about talking about, if they ever begin building in that temple, it's going to hit news. All the world's going to see it. All the world's going to focus on this event, little piece of ground in Israel. It's that important of an issue. It was in Zechariah's time, and it still is today. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2 now. Paul, when he talks about this issue in 2 Thessalonians 2, the temple still is the catalyst where all events will roll around. All events will catapult from the temple. He says here in 2 Thessalonians 2, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." So two issues. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Two things. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind and troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So we have two issues right now surrounding what we're looking at here. The man of sin, and also, you can read that, a revealing. There's two issues that Paul says, this cannot happen except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. I got this down wrong already. Falling away. That's number one. Number two here. So there's going to be a falling away, and then there's going to be a revealing. So Paul begins to explain this. Now I'm not going to get into the great detail like we did before this passage. I want to get down to where I'm really looking at here. Verse 4 I really want to focus on, and verse 7 is the point of all this. "Who, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." He makes his point why we can't be gathered together. He says there's got to be a falling away and the man of sin revealed. This man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. He talks about sitting in this temple. And sitting is what? A form of what? Authority. He takes an authority above God in this temple. So this temple is the key issue right here of understanding our gathering. So this temple here, he begins centering all his argument around this one point in history. We find that in Revelation 12 and 13. And he says, above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth, he take authority in the temple, showing himself that he is God. What's it mean by showing himself? For all the world to see. He becomes God before the world in this temple. And do you think the world at that time will take notice? Do they know? They talk about the temple today. Absolutely. It's still a fresh issue. It's still a fight between the Muslim and Israeli. You talk about people in the United States, they talk about when do they think this temple will be rebuilt. You get online and look it up. There's constant conversation about that stuff. So there's a pinnacle point in history where this temple will, everything will surround this temple, and all these events that Paul's talking about here will catapult off that one event. So the temple for Israel is everything to them. Go to Isaiah 14. Some of this is review. In Isaiah 14, look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. She says, I will sit upon, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So we have an issue going on here. He says, you know what? Up here in the heavens, he says, I will sit. And then he said, the sides of the north. He says, I will sit. So he's talking about the heavens and the earth. Now go to Psalms. Here's a verse here to explain the sides of the north. I've always liked this verse. Isaiah 48, and hold your place here in Isaiah 14. Psalms 48 and Isaiah 14. Psalms 48. Look at verse 1. Great is the Lord, and great is to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. So we're talking a time where there'll be this temple. That would be 2 Thessalonians 2:4, where Satan wants to sit. He wants to be seated in that temple. He says, also, I want to be above the stars of God. He talks about being above all authority, all rule among all creation. So he wants control of not only the heavens, but of the earth. And we see in 2 Thessalonians 2 that we see the topic of this come up. Now go to Revelation 6. And then in that temple, in Revelation 6, I'm sorry, chapter 13, verse 6. Let's go back to verse 4. This is shortly after his departure from the heavenlies. A war was placed on him in chapter 12. He was cast out of his place of authority in the heavenlies. And verse 6 comes along and he says, and they worshiped, verse 4, 13 verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power which was given to him to continue 42 months, through the last 3.5 years of that tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So he stands in his temple. He blasts God. I'm sure he wants to be as God. He said, that's the fake God. He's not the true God. I am. So he begins his blasphemy program to claim his role in Isaiah 14. So in Isaiah 14 is his goal. That is the goal here. And in chapter 13 of Revelation, we see that goal being implemented. He begins doing his goal here. Now go to Revelation 21. Now this is not going to be a real long sermon because my point's small, but it's an addition to what I've already known about this passage. 21 verse 22. Let's go back up here a little bit. Let's look at 21. He explains this New Jerusalem. And verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was with one was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lord are the temple of it. So we know that this temple, remember in Matthew he says, I'll tear that down and rebuild it in 3 days. That was what the original plan was until the eruption of grace in this time. But he's going to rebuild this temple. He said there's no... And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun nor of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb of the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings in the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So we know, based upon that verse, that there is not going to be a physical temple, but Jesus Christ Himself will be that temple. And the catalyst of all that was from Revelation 26, Satan standing in it. He basically tripped the wire for this prophecy to begin moving on. So do we understand Jesus Christ will eventually be that temple. But that event in Revelation 12 will also trigger an event that will concern us. I think it's Paul's point here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's go back to that. Matter of fact, I want to show you something here. Before we do that, just a side note. Go to Philippians 2 and Philippians 3. You know, when Satan says, just something to think about, when Satan says, I will sit above the stars of God, I will sit also in the sides of the north, New Jerusalem, in that temple. So I'm going to do both of these. He wants to be like the Most High, he says. Look what Paul tells us as members of his body. In 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Satan's goal is to be equal. When he says the term, if I can get this right, the term he wanted to be as God simply means to be literally like, even, or even similar to God. Paul tells us as members of his body, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Are we in the form of God now? Yeah. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We are equal like God. But do we consider that robbery? No, it was a plan and purpose that God had for us, the church. Satan wants to be like God. He stands in the temple, but is it robbery? Absolutely. Not a design that God had. Go to chapter 3. These little words like as, like, all those things are so important to the Bible study here. Look at verse 21. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, which from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned, what's that next word? Like unto his glorious body, according to working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. Do you think Satan understands these verses, or knows these verses? The word as, like, not robbery to be equal with God. He knows that we have that position. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to sit, he wants to be as, like, God. And he knows, in his mind, God has designed us for that promise. And it's not robbery. Just a side note about that. These little verses make sense to me now, a lot more than they ever have. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2 now. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So Paul sets the stage to begin to show us why we can't be gathered. And he uses this information here about Isaiah 14 to show us why we can't be out there yet. Verse 5, remember. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about the word remember in 2 Timothy 2? Remember is a dispensational understanding. It's a term he uses. Remember what you are now to what you were in the past. He said, now remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So verse 4 is the reason why the Son of Man cannot be revealed. Because this temple event has to happen. And after the temple, he begins being revealed. And how is he revealed? You get down to verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. So what reveals this wicked man? God in his flaming fire. He reveals him for what he is, that son of perdition. But verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he, this man of sin, might be revealed in his time. There's got to be a setting up. He's got to be, this particular event has to happen. He has 3.5 years to proclaim what he wants as God. And then God reveals him by that flaming fire. That's why I'm seeing this verse. Now the meat of all that, just for this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And I find that this is the most fascinating part. This is the part where we're drug into. Paul says, you know what? His coming and our gathering can't happen except to come a falling away first and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We know that he's got to sit in the temple claiming that he is God. And at that particular event, you can read in Revelation 12, 13, 14. We know he's going to do all these miraculous signs and events. He's going to be killed. He's going to be raised up. He's going to have all these different things. Draw the world and deceive all the world, as Isaiah 14 says. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And that word already, it's an interesting word. He's talking about, remember, the main event in 2 Thessalonians is the temple in the future. How does that temple already work? We have to keep that in perspective. Keep the frame of thought going on. is he talks about the son of perdition. Clear up into verse 6. The antecedent. Remember we talked about the antecedent, the word he's and all that. Refer back to the son of perdition. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. At this present time, that guy's working right now. This system is in play. How is the temple in reference to right now? I believe that's why it's a mystery. You look at it and you're thinking, how does that? That's got to be a mystery. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. That's really raining out there. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? When God looks at us today, it's not Robert, we thought equal with God. We're fashioned like His glorious body. He says, know you not, ye are what? The temple of God. The body of Christ is the temple today. Is the temple that everybody's arguing about over in Gaza Strip and Israel, is that the important thing today? Is there a temple today? There's still, God always has a temple. He has a means by which He is with His people. And it's always through the temple. In the future, this temple out there is going to be corrupted by Satan. The means today is also the temple. Matter of fact, go to chapter 6. I think it's one of the strong issues for the book of Corinthians over all the corruption and the moral decay of the church. He keeps saying, you are the temple. The temple. You got to, you know how strict the rules were about corruption in the temple of Israel? Is it important today? Just as stringent? Now, I don't say I understand this passage a lot, but look here, chapter 3 again. Know you not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Now, that has a lot to do with the content of what we build upon. But he said, if any man, an outside source, destroy the temple, God, him shall God destroy. That may play a part also in the future temple in the heavens. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 8. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Once again, your body is the temple. It is a temple. So we have, in the future, in the heavenlies, is this where the temple is going to live? Are we going to live in the heavenlies? You should all know that by now. There's going to be a temple that exists in the heavenlies. Just as in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and 13, the temple that Satan entered, was that temple the focus of Jesus Christ at that point? Was it the temple that God and Jesus Christ was really going to use? The place and location? according to Revelation 21, that temple goes away. That physical part of that temple goes away, and Jesus Christ becomes that temple. There's great parallels between that and the church here. I'm not saying we're not Israel, we're not part of that program, but the temple, everything it surrounds, is very similar to how it's going to work with us. So we have in the future a temple. Where is Satan reign right now? Here. Satan reigns where the temple will be. Is he sitting up there claiming that he is God? Does he have authority over the angels right now? Oh, he definitely has authority over the angels. We looked at here a few weeks ago about our position in the heavenlies, what we're going to be doing. We're going to have role and authority over angels. Remember, 1 Corinthians says we're going to judge angels and many such things in this life. So he's up there rolling and judging his own in place of the temple. So there's some very big similarities going on in here. Go to Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2. I'm trying to make this as clear as possible. This is as it be at some points. That's read it for, but it shouldn't, or as great he had done, we're together with Christ. Together, sitting place, we sit in places. You get this wrong. We're sitting in the heavenlies, because we have there in verse, the present spirit is a prevent. That physical reason is all closed. Being written towards Christ. He says, we're specially, we got fair trust with Christ right now. He says, age is up. There's going to be authority. Now, we want all the building unholy temple. What do we grow holy temple in that temple to? And whom they what is God have a habit? He the temple of God. God owns people. Even within the temple. He owners. All work. In Ephesians 6. We wrestle not with and blood. It's for ours, world. A spiritual where. So we're battle. For the mystery of Nick doth already form as we speak. The temple is holding. He's up there using authority and corrupting the church. Trying to corrupt the church, let's put it that way. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Only he who now letteth will let. All this corruption is going to continue until he be taken out of the way. He is going to be taken out of the way. He's going to come to the temple of the earth. And then these events begin to unfold. The man of sins revealed by flaming fire. And the church takes its position in the heavens. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. So there is a dispensational understanding in this thing. He's comparing one temple to the other temple. He said one temple is going to happen. The position where he's taking where the temple will be in the heavenlies, it's happening now. It's already working that way. There's a chain of events going on. A lot of different things we could talk about on that. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 2. Getting ahead of myself here. Look at verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Jesus Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Are we ignorant of his devices? You hear a lot of talk about Satan's doing this to me, and, you know, Cliff Wilson, the devil made me do it. All those different ideas of how Satan works. But here he says, we're not ignorant of these devices. One of it is being obedient in all things, verse 9, and forgiving it in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember Ephesians 2:21, it says, we're builded together as a habitation of God. We're growing in the things of Jesus Christ. And it thwarts any effort that Satan has from his place of authority to corrupt the church. There's a lot going on there with rewards and stuff. We can look at that later. Look at Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Look at verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there's some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, what's that next word? From heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, I'm not going to try to read into this. Do I completely understand that? I do not. All I do know is, Paul says, if they come down and preach a gospel to them, let them be accursed. So is there a possibility that he orchestrates from the heavens that doctrine? How that happens, what it looks like, what form it takes, that's really another time, another study, which I haven't got there yet. But I know that can work. Matter of fact, go to Romans 8. So I'm just trying to give you an idea. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. This is this sinless, this lawlessness, this attempt to corrupt God and blaspheme is happening today. And we got to be aware of it. Look at chapter 8. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's two terms there that bother me. Angels and any other creature. I don't think he's talking about my dog, the animal. There's other creatures in this universe. You know, there's seraphims, there's cherubims, there's some weird stuff in this creation that we can't see. Now, either I believe those are literal, how can I believe anything else in that verse that's not literal? So I don't think Paul would just throw something out there to be funny. So these things are in existence. What forms, what, I don't know. I just know I have to take what I see. What I read, I should say. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. In 2 Corinthians 11, it's interesting. Most of these passages he explains to the church of Corinth because they're the ones most affected by it. I'm almost positive of that. In the church of Galatia. In 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we know we have ministers of righteousness now that claim that are just the ministers of unrighteousness. Preachers, teachers, whatever you want to make of it. I know that's for sure this is what that's saying. So we have a corrupt system that since the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve, so now there's a system that the ministers of righteousness grab a hold of to corrupt us under the orchestration of Satan in the heavenlies that we war against. He said they're false apostles and deceitful workers. Matter of fact, in Revelation 12, when he kicks Satan out of the heavenlies, if you're aware of that chapter at all, he talks about he deceiveth the whole world. His scope is the whole world. And part of that deception is false apostles and deceitful workers. He teaches deceit. 2 Timothy 3. In 2 Timothy 3 here. In 2 Timothy 3, he warns Timothy about some of this. And Titus. Okay, 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and what? Now there's the answer to the question, well, you think they're out there worshiping Satan and following Satan just to get us all tripped up. Where did that verse? No. They're deceiving and being deceived. They think they're actually doing... That's the great thing that Satan does from the heavens. He sells a doctrine. Remember, he's transforming himself into the angel of light. He transforms that message to the point where you think you've got a good thing. You're really honoring and worshiping God. And you're deceiving and being deceived as you teach it. That's the scary part. They think they're teaching truth. That's what sets a battle for us to deal with. 2 Timothy 2, go back a couple verses here. Look at chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance in the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He has a personal will to take people captive in a false doctrine. In a false doctrine, and he says here, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. That verse sort of escaped me for a while. But I believe Paul's talking to Timothy about saved individuals, members of the church. Remember, who are we? Equal with God? We're going to be fashioned like His. We're part of God. We're His ownership. We begin teaching a false doctrine. Do we oppose the very person that we are with that? Absolutely. We're trying to recover the truth and get them to understand that. Let's close here, 1 Timothy. First Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, 4:1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. There's another term that's hard to understand. Any other creature that fits that form? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be revealed, received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So in the latter times, when things get pretty bad, this guy here is going to be doing a pretty good job on the church, deceiving with a false doctrine. So now, Tracy had taught a long time ago, if you believe the mystery of iniquity is the false religious system. I semi-agree with that, not completely. I think the mystery of iniquity is this guy producing a false doctrine on the religious realm. A little bit changed of what I originally thought it was. But this point here, go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and we're going to read that, and then we're going to close. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that Satan's being kicked out of the heavenlies, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the catalyst by which all these events happen. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth. The temple issue hasn't taken place yet. That he might be revealed, that son of perdition can't be revealed till after that goes on. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's happening in the heavenlies right now. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken away, cast to the earth, the temple issue begins. And then eventually 3.5 years, he then becomes revealed, which is verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So Paul uses this in that chapter. This is the key. The temple is the catalyst of understanding the mystery of iniquity. For this area is already taking, when he entered the questions, anything? Satan.